Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the most optimistic time of the year. Who will be the next star player for your 49ers?
With the 31st pick, the San Francisco 49ers select.
It's draft night on 95.7 The Game with Evan Giddings and Sterling Bennett. Here's Mark Grandy.
Welcome in. It's draft night on 95.7 The Game. As you just heard, Mark Grandy, Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett with you. Welcome in to what should be a fun night. We're with you for the next 4 hours all the way up until 10 o'clock. The 2024 NFL Draft is an hour old. No news from the San Francisco 49ers just yet, but we have had a number of picks, 7 picks in so far, the latest that you might have just missed, J.C. Latham, a tackle from Alabama, going to the Tennessee Titans. But guys, welcome in. Happy draft night. How you guys feeling?
Football's back. Last year didn't end too kind for the Niners, but it's a rebirth, a restart of the NFL season, and I can tell you right now, I'm ready for another run, boys, and it starts right now. Let's do it.
It is strange how the football season never ceases, one, to amaze, but to end in general. It just restarts. It's rekindled. Draft night, whether you got the first pick or the 31st pick like the 49ers do, it's just another night to lock in on potential players that can help a franchise win a Super Bowl, and that's what the Niners are trying to do. I think they should feel good about it. And with all the rumors that have been swirling around this week,
so
whether
many.
It's Brandon Ayuk or moving up or moving down or moving all around, we got action tonight. So I'm excited to be with you guys for 4 hours.
Yeah. Our game plan here tonight, we're going to give you updates on every single pick as they happen, of course, and we're going to keep an eye on what this all means for the San Francisco 49ers. Before we do dive in, let's just run through the first 7 picks as they've come off the board from Detroit. Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC, goes number 1 overall to the Chicago Bears. Jaden Daniels, a quarterback to the Commanders. Drake May, a quarterback as well, 3rd overall to the New England Patriots. After that, the first wide receiver off the board, Marvin Harrison Jr. to the 49ers division rival Arizona Cardinals. Shout out to Evan Giddings. Joe Alt, the offensive tackle, goes to the, I almost said the San Diego Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers.
Fine.
Malik Nabers, a wide receiver, to the Giants. J.C. Latham to the Tennessee Titans. He is an offensive tackle as well from the Alabama Crimson Tide. There was the rumor earlier today, guys, from Diana Rossini saying that the Niners have checked in about potentially moving into the top 10. We're 7 picks in, not only no trade from the 49ers, but no trade anywhere up to this point. Still a handful of picks left in the top 10, and of course plenty of time left in this entire draft for the 49ers to make a trade, trade up, trade down, stand pat, whatever they want to do, but nothing crazy so far through 7 picks for anyone across the NFL.
Draft day brings you arguably the craziest rumors of the NFL season. Free agency is great and all, but draft day is unlike any other when it comes to moving up, moving down, which team might trade to one of their star receivers like Ayuk or Debo, but pick 7 and 8 are still up there. There's still time for some big moves to occur, but I'll tell you this, I'm not really surprised that all the hype that happened pre-draft, that nothing truly fantastical, if that's even a word, has happened so far through seven picks.
Do we have a chalkboard in here?
I don't think so.
We don't.
Lucas, come on. Chalkboard us up.
Someone's got to get some chalk, because I feel like that's what we've seen pretty much the first seven picks. There's been maybe one or two changes here or there, but I don't think anybody didn't expect these players to be off the board around this time. I guess the only thing that hasn't happened that was a bit advertised, fellas, was trades. I mean, we have seen a lack of movement up and down. And of course, everyone's throwing out their hot takes. And, you know, I think these guys are going to jump into the five spot, or there was even action brewing about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Saw from Tom Curran of New England that they might be willing to move that third overall pick. I don't know if it necessarily included the Niners, but so far everyone's just pretty much stood pat.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we get a surprise from the Atlanta Falcons. They're picking next, and in fact, Roger Goodell's about to come out, so we'll get the pick there for you in just a little bit.
Come on, blow it up, Atlanta.
I mean, Atlanta's an interesting one. Atlanta's interesting because they're going to be one of the most improved teams in the league, you would think, because they signed Kirk Cousins and they had no quarterback last year. We'll see where they do end up going here. Again, as you guys are talking about, through seven, it's been relatively chalky. Maybe you feel like J.C. Latham last time was a surprise in terms of the guide, maybe not the position, but we got a little bit of a surprise here. The Falcons have picked Washington quarterback Michael Penix.
What are you doing?
Eighth overall, they just signed Kirk Cousins to a mega deal this offseason, and now I guess they signed their quarterback of the future. No trade reported here. Wow. Michael Penix to the Falcons, eighth overall.
Well, this actually does fit, because the Atlanta Falcons, I believe the last 3 years in the top 10, have taken offensive weapons that they don't use.
Yeah.
So Michael Penix would fall right into that order. Yeah, we're not going to throw the ball to Drake London. We're not going to throw the ball to Kyle Pitts. We're not going to give the ball to Bijan Robinson. And Michael Penix are actually going to sit behind Kirk Cousins.
And a good thing is, I guess, about Penix's development is that Cousins off the torn Achilles, he may actually play. Who knows? There's a chance that Penix does play this year, but eight for a guy that's not going to play for maybe 1-2 years, like, that's really rich for a quarterback that might not start 2-3 years down the road for you.
Yeah, I mean, who's the last top 10 quarterback that, I mean, Trey Lance is one of them.
Mahomes didn't play his first year.
Yeah. Trey Lance more recent than that, but
Jordan Love being in the 20s,
yeah,
and that's a part where it's, okay, 20s the makes a lot 20s. Of sense, but, and even then, people said, well, this is a reach. It's like, you can justify sitting a young quarterback for 2 or 3 years in the 20s. You're in the top 10. Many people could argue you can trade back and get him, unless they have intel that Minnesota wanted Penix over McCarthy. That's one thought I have, is that Minnesota's sitting there in 2-3 picks.
Chicago's next. They're not taking a quarterback. They just took theirs. You got the Jets. They're not taking a quarterback.
Right.
Minnesota, yeah, potentially. You're right.
And Denver.
I mean, I do think that Penix is a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. I know a lot of people have him higher or had him higher, but I think Penix is, no offense, Mark, the best quarterback in the Pac-12 by far.
Better than Caleb Williams, who went number one overall? You can say, stand on say it. Sorry
you
to Lucas
stand
and
on
me.
I think he is. So, yeah, well, I was mainly talking about Bo Nix. Sorry about that. But, I think he's a better quarterback than J.J. McCarthy. So if you were to take one, I think that would be the guy. It's just interesting when you give out $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins over 4 years, that Penix is a guy who perhaps you can envision coming in and, I don't know, beating him out in a year. But also, well, I mean, Kirk Cousins is, what, 36 years old? I just wonder, I mean, you wouldn't take him to trade him in the future. If that's your pick, that's your pick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the Bears pick is in. Niners not trading Ayuk to Chicago. You have to assume it's Rome Odunze here. But another pick off the board, Niners still have their receiving core intact.
You think Bears are going Rome Odunze?
Who else would you take here?
Well, they have two receivers. I mean, they just traded for one.
But you got to get Rome Odunze in there, because it gives you three weapons. Your running backs are already secured. You already have a fairly good offensive line there in Chicago. The defense takes care of itself. You give Caleb Williams three star running backs or
wide receivers.
Receivers. Like, he has some. Your boy, Keenan Allen's out there now, Evan.
Well, I think they could go a ton of different ways.
They could
here.
Also trade out of this pick.
Yeah.
The pick's in, though.
That's what they might be trying to do.
Doesn't look like they're going
to. I think there's been a lot of teams that have tried to trade back.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem like anyone's looking to budge enough to move up. And, I mean, it's kind of what happens. I don't know. I feel like most of the big deals are known ahead of time, and all the draft night set is just, I mean, I guess, like a Mexican standoff trying to see if one move will budge or not.
No one's blinked so far, which is really, like, Minnesota called the Giants bluff of, are you going to take McCarthy? And yep. Minnesota said, we'll stand pat. If you're the Vikings through 9-8 picks now, you're kind of the biggest winner if you want McCarthy. You have two first-round draft picks. You get your quarterback at, what is it, 11? Then you have, what, 23 later on in the first round? Like, yep. You've almost won day one of the draft so far, and you haven't even picked yet.
Assuming that the guy they like is J.J. McCarthy.
Of course. If it was Penix.
Then no.
Oh, sound the alarm.
And now, I mean, the Raiders, Penix at 13 to the Raiders, that was like the hot pick of a lot of mock drafts. So who knows if that was actually what the Raiders wanted to do, where they do go from here. I will say, if you are the 49ers, and Roger Goodell is about to come out to announce the Bears pick, Sterling has labeled Roma Dunze as his prediction. We'll see if that happens, Sterling. That's consecutive Washington Huskies off the board, 8 and 9 in the first round.
Well, yeah, speaking of the number 9, after it looks like New York just moved up and made a trade with Minnesota.
Ooh.
So they swapped spots.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, and Roger Goodell is announcing the 9th pick, and Sterling's correct. It is Roma Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington. So that Bears offense now, suddenly.
The old Seattle Seahawks approach.
Looks pretty good. It's loaded up.
I mean,
Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, and then they signed, help me out, running back who was with the Eagles last year.
DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, DeAndre Swift.
There you go.
It's a pretty good offensive core.
So what the Bears now have with their three wide receivers, now DeAndre Swift, they have put Caleb Williams in arguably the greatest position any first-round pick has ever been in for a quarterback.
He's a first overall.
You're in the NFC North. I get the Packers are good. The Lions are really good as well. Must knock Niners out of the playoffs last year. But if Caleb Williams is the guy, they're going to be good for a decade.
It is wild, too, because all of this is only possible due to the idiocy of the Carolina Panthers and them moving both DJ Moore and essentially attaching the number one overall pick to get a guy last year who they can't protect and didn't set up the way that the Chicago Bears have set up their number one pick.
They have no first-round draft picks this year.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
Yeah, this 9th pick that the Bears just used on Roma Dunze, that was the Bears' original pick, their own pick. The first pick, as you guys are talking about, came from Carolina. Yeah, so wild. As we talked about just before that pick came in, we do have a trade, 10 and 11. The Jets and Vikings have swapped. Don't know what the Jets are sending back to, or what the Vikings are sending back to the Jets in order to move up just one spot. But it's probably what
Aaron Rodgers.
Could you imagine? Oh, probably what you're talking about. They wanted to make sure they get their guy. If their guy is J.J. McCarthy, it's worth it to move up one slot. Maybe you trade a third-round pick or whatever the situation is, and then you take your quarterback. If it is J.J. McCarthy, then the Vikings would be willing to pay that cost, Sterling.
The Jets are getting number 11 overall, so one spot back where they were. The 129th overall and pick 157 for pick 10 and 203. So quite a nice haul to move back one pick. Yeah. Reminds me of what the Niners got when they traded back with the Bears in 17?
Mm-hmm.
The Trubisky draft?
The first Shanahan and Lynch draft, where they allowed the Bears to take Trubisky so you could take Solomon. And then they used the extra picks to go back into the first round and take Reuben Foster. Both those picks were disastrous.
Just a nightmare scenario.
I like the strategy, but the result was bad.
Speaking of the Niners, now that Adunze is off the board, as well as Neighbors and Harrison, does that pretty much nix an Ayuk deal in your guys' mind? Because you're not getting one of the top three guys. I'm not saying that they wouldn't be willing to move up, but in my mind, if they do trade Ayuk at this point, that is a terrible mistake for someone that's not a top three receiver in this class.
I think trading Ayuk over Debo would have been a mistake no matter who they got, whether it was Neighbors. Harrison being kind of the outlier, he's probably going to be generational, but you weren't getting pick number 4 for Brandon Ayuk. You're probably not getting 9, and you obviously didn't get 9, but I think the Niners, when it comes to the price tag, I think there still is a chance they talk to teams like Jacksonville, who they've been tied to the entire offseason. I could see a team like Indianapolis, who, if Brian Thomas isn't their flavor of receiver, talking to the Niners, but I have a hard time believing through 10 picks now, San Francisco is trading Debo or Ayuk.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. And that's how I felt coming into the day. And I think I feel that way as well. I was kind of running through options and the way that the Niners might want this to go. You know, if there's a run on wide receivers early in the draft, maybe that spurns a team who's picking in the teens who realizes, all right, we're not going to get the Marvin Harrison. We're not going to get the Malik Neighbors. We're not going to get the Roma Dunze. Maybe we don't even get Brian Thomas or A.D. Mitchell or however your board stacks up. Maybe we don't get one of those guys that we really, really wanted because they go early. And maybe that incentivizes the team to say, all right, let's call up John Lynch and say, all right, We didn't want to give you the 17th overall pick, but now we will. But to Evan's point, if all these receivers are off the board, the Niners don't feel as good about their replacement options.
Right. Yeah.
However, maybe they're willing to take a lesser wide receiver and shore up other parts of their roster as a result of that. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm with both you guys. I think Ayuk and Debo, but specifically Ayuk, are Niners at the end of the night tonight. But you can kind of find ways where maybe the Niners are benefited one way or the other if there is a big run on wide receivers or if there's not.
Did you buy into any of the rumors, by the way?
About Ayuk?
Or Debo, either one.
No, I didn't. I don't know. To me, it was a mutually beneficial sort of rumor mill.
Yeah.
Because Ayuk's price is going up. And if anything, the Niners, I felt like were foolish to not try and get a deal done sooner before the Amon-Ra and now the A.J. Brown deals have come out, because Ayuk's price tag is going up as well as his trade stock for other teams. So the Niners are not going to move him, in my opinion, weren't going to move him unless they got absolutely overwhelmed. And it was going to be for one of those three guys that are now off the board. So I didn't buy it in the first place just because I didn't see another team being willing to give up that kind of capital as well as pay Ayuk. And there weren't enough teams, I think, in the top 10 also that needed a guy like Ayuk. And I felt like they were just more in places to try and get younger in that position and take a swing on one of these top three prospects, which appear to be, at least in recent memory, there's been a run of fantastic first-year rookie receivers. And I think all three of those guys have reason to believe that they can follow in step.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with Evan there. I don't think the Niners were set one way or the other, and everything you heard was, we don't know, and the Niners probably don't know, because ultimately it comes down to how the draft plays out and how the draft influences what other teams are willing to give up. If the Niners got an X, you know, a haul worth X amount, like if it was, we'll give you the 13th pick straight up, maybe that would be enough. But the Niners' cutoff point was the 15th pick. If you offer me the 15th, maybe that's not enough. The 13th is enough. Like, whatever the situation was, the Niners were not, in my opinion, set one way or the other. No, we're not trading Ayuk. Yes, we are trading Ayuk. If you get an offer that you think is worth it and you can get a decent replacement, you draft one of the star tackles of this draft and shore up the offensive line, and then you keep your 31st overall pick and you pick maybe one of the second-tier wide receivers and you feel okay about that trade-off, maybe you do it. But whatever their line was, they're not going to accept anything less than that. If that's the case, you work out, you hope, fingers crossed, an extension with Ayuk this offseason, and then you push off the really tough decision that you're going to have to make a year from now, a little less than a year from now, next March.
Right.
And then you ultimately figure it out there. I think that's always been the most likely, what the Niners have probably felt like is going to happen, and we still have a lot of time left tonight, but I think that's the direction we're headed.
Can you just imagine pick 32 comes up, Niners have already taken their first round pick, and all of a sudden trade Niners Ayuk to the Chiefs.
Not to the Chiefs.
Collectively lose. I lose my mind. Honestly, any other team but Kansas City.
I mean, I also just believe that, like, I don't think it means the Niners are done playing hardball with Ayuk. And in fact, it might mean that this is going to drag on a lot longer than people want to, because Ayuk understandably wants to get paid. I think he understands his price tag in regards to the market is climbing north. And the Niners are notorious for getting deals done, but also just penny pinching in general. Mm-hmm. So I think that in many ways it was going to happen tonight if it was going to happen, but if not, I don't think we hear anything come down for quite some time between the two sides.
Do you buy into the rumor, Sterling?
No. The way the Niners have done everything, all the players they've resigned, they've paid, the guys that hit, they make sure to bring them back. I cannot think of one player that has hit that they haven't brought back for a second contract that this regime has drafted. Armstead wasn't this regime, and he was here and extended with this regime.
And Buckner was not
this regime. Everyone else that hits, they make it a point to bring back. Now,
it hasn't been easy all those times, but they have done it. You're right.
Niner fans stress out, and they hear all these rumors. And what I don't like is that people hear one thing on Tuesday and forget it on Wednesday. John Lynch, the entire offseason, has said, and I get it, maybe semantics, you're posturing here or there, you have to play hardball, but the entire offseason, we want to keep Ayuk in the Niner uniform his entire career. Now, is that possible? You'll find out come March, and you'll find out when his contract's up in 5 years, whatever it is.
This is all just a semantics thing as well. I mean, you could, of course, you could say you want him to be a Niner for life.
But what this regime has done,
the pressures of the roster
to them
and everything,
getting that done. Like, probably. Like, they have not, like, there's no back talking when going to get Bosa done, going to get Warner done, going to get whoever else you want to include, Kittle. Like, they've gotten every single one of their players to hit, and when they do hit, they sign them to a 3-4-5 year lucrative contract. They have no problem making the highest paid tight end, the highest paid linebacker, and the highest paid defensive end that's a non-quarterback in NFL history. Now, Ayuk ain't getting top receiver money, but it'll probably be top 10, top 15. Like, they're going to get this done.
Well, I also think, too, that the track record, Sterling, is the most important part. And I think it's important because that allows you to dive into the trade rumor mill without pissing off the guy you're trying to sign. Because if you have a track record of keeping players, whether it's for a record price or not, then the player understands that this is just business. Like, this is how you have to operate. And in fact, you know, we heard earlier this week that Deebo Samuel was someone who might have been traded 2 summers ago. There are players on this team that, yes, have been traded, not under this regime, but there are also players that you're always looking at, okay, can we get better here? If we get an asking price. And the Niners have also at the trade deadline done such a good job at finding guys available for a particular price that they're naturally also going to be open for players of their own. It's not like we're just taking and not being willing to give. So I think in general, the track record means that John Lynch could speak in, you know, ambiguity basically for a week without Ayuk's camp interpreting that as, oh, well, actually, it looks like they're trying to trade us, because Ayuk didn't even ask for a trade the way that Deebo Samuel did, which demonstrates to me a two-way street that's pretty rare among most franchises.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. It's Grandy, Evan, and Sterling with you, and we do have another pick in. No surprise, the Minnesota Vikings, after trading up one spot from 11 to 10, they have taken Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy, and now for the first time in NFL history, five quarterbacks have gone in the first 10 picks. Five different quarterbacks: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy in the top 10 of the 2024 NFL draft. So no surprise there from the Minnesota Vikings. You figured they were taking a quarterback, and Sterling, you pointed to J.J. McCarthy a handful of minutes ago. The other thing I think that kind of surprised me that this Brandon Ayuk story caught as much traction as it did, the Niners, you can sign Brandon Ayuk this offseason, guys, and his cap hit for this year goes down. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to keep everyone under your belt for eternity. You're going to have to pay the piper and make a tough decision at some point, but you can sign him to a very lucrative extension, a la A.J. Brown, a la Amon-Ra St. Brown. Those have happened within the last couple of days. A.J. Brown happened in the last couple of hours. And you can be fine for this coming season. And after losing a Super Bowl last year, the pressure on you to get over the hump and get it done is as high as it's ever been. You need your best receiver to help you do that. Maybe this conversation changes, guys, if the Niners don't win the Super Bowl, or if they do win the Super Bowl a handful of months ago. If they beat the Chiefs in February, maybe this is a little bit of a different conversation. Yeah. But they're still searching for that Super Bowl, and they need Brandon Ayuk to give them the best chance to do that.
Man, the entire offseason, I feel like Niner fans have been kind of waiting on bated breath of like, what's going to happen to Brandon Ayuk? And it's like, just sit back. This happens almost every offseason. Like, there were talks that the Jets had a Godfather offer on the table for Deebo Samuel, and we learned 2 months later it was a fourth round pick. Yeah, quite the Godfather offer. Like, oh, yeah. Like, the Niners do this. I was there last year. Nick Bosa walked and said, I'll get what I deserve. And guess what? He got what he deserved 2 months later. Like, I don't think Ayuk's going to play this game of, is he going to be there week one? But I think you get into OTAs, which happened, I believe, later next month, get into training camp. Maybe he misses a week or so. Like, I think the Niners are in a place where they can extend Ayuk this year. They'll have the $18 million off the book come June 2nd to free up some money as well. And once next year hits, Deebo Samuel's 29 years old. Hey, Deebo, your body's banged up. I think every Niner fan, for as much as they love Deebo Samuel Sr., number one now, right? I think they'd be much more accepting of, keeping Ayuk for the next 4 or 5 years and letting Debo go in 1 year's time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I also think, too, it's I just wonder, my next question for Ayuk is how long does he want to wait? Because there are still some dominoes that could fall in the wide receiver market that could help him. And I don't think Jefferson or Lamb, who are the two guys that are pretty much left, are guys that are going to get paid less than what A.J. Brown did. Right. So Ayuk might want to wait. It also might behoove him to get a deal done early and just lock in whatever guarantee money he believes that he is worth. It's interesting, though, because, you know, from a Niners perspective here on draft night now, it's like, all right, well, now the focus is pretty much on 31. Like, what do you do? And all of that is going to be laid out in the rest of the first round. But so far, there haven't been too many surprises outside of Penix. Oh. And I just think that, well, there you go. Fashanu, your boy's off the board.
Dude. Jets at number 11, taking Penn State tackle Olu Fashanu.
No Brock Bowers.
11 picks in. We've got 5 quarterbacks, we've got 3 receivers, and we've got 3 offensive tackles. That's it. Quarterback, wide receiver, and tackle. That is it so far, the first 11 picks. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Evan Gidding, Sterling Bennett with you. Time for a break, but Niner fans, we want to hear from you. We're 11 picks in. How you feeling, Niner fans? Are you scared for the Ayuk might be gone? Are you feeling a little bit more confident the Niners are going to get it done? Let us know. 888-957-9570. We're just getting started on draft night. It's Grandy, Evan, and Sterling with you. More coming up on the other side right here on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now back to Draft Night on 95.7 The Game.
What, Mark?
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're having some fun in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame. You can join it, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's draft night here on 95.7. Mark Randy, Evan Giddings, Sterling Bennett with you. Roger Goodell recently coming off of back surgery, making the long walk out to the podium.
He had back surgery? I didn't know.
There was a whole story about whether or not he was going to hug the draftees. And he has. I think he's been okay.
I want to see him in a 3-point
stance. He got picked up by a couple of them.
Take on the shed.
But the 12th pick by the Denver Broncos has just been announced, and it is another quarterback, Bo Nix out of Oregon. Go Ducks. But 12 picks, we've got 6 quarterbacks off the board in the first 12 picks. This is wild.
Dude, he sucks, man. Sorry.
I gotta be careful.
I do not like that pick whatsoever.
Go Ducks, I get it, Mark, but like, man.
I didn't like the Zach Wilson trade. I really don't like Bo Nix at 12. I mean, I guess the Penix pick by Atlanta kind of messed up a lot of boards, and so you feel like you got to go get your guy. But there are so many better players, in my opinion, in Denver.
At 12?
I don't think Bo Nix is going to come in and change that franchise. I mean, they were talking about he's the quarterback of the future. Immediate future. I just don't see it.
There's a good chance Zach Wilson starts over him this year, right?
which is an indication of where Bo Nix is at. Like, he's like 27.
Maybe I'm just not familiar. Grandy, I'm sure you can talk on it more than I can, but Sean Payton, reach of the year by far through 12 picks so far.
There's a lot of Drew Brees in him.
Yeah.
So this is a bigger...
They did say Tua Tagovailoa on the screen, and I held in my laugh, but yeah.
Bo Nix at 12, a bigger reach than Michael Penix at 8. Yeah, you feel that way?
Yes. Yes. Penix at least has the arm talent to get it done.
I mean, they're comparable in the sense that, I mean, I guess Denver needed a quarterback. Atlanta did not. So from that standpoint, I guess you could say both are pretty big reaches. But if you're going to reach for one, I think it's obviously Penix.
Okay, now the question becomes, at 13, what the hell do the Raiders do? Six quarterbacks off the board. I don't think the Raiders were expecting that.
No.
Picking 13th overall, and then the best
they
quarterback.
One of those guys are going to be there.
The best quarterback on the board if probably be Spencer Rattler at this point. There's no chance they pick Spencer Rattler 13th overall.
For the Niners' sake, take Spencer Rattler, please.
Yeah. But, leave all the other good positions up there for the Niners.
Well, the pick's in, but
yeah, it was pretty quick.
It's Gardner Minshew season in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, so far it's boded pretty well for the Niners because a lot of your skill positions and general areas of need have not gone too deep. Well, there's been three tackles thus far, the six quarterbacks, and wide receivers.
There's been no defensive players?
Nope.
Man.
Through 12 picks, no defensive players.
Shanahan's
you have quarterbacks, tackles, quarterbacks, offensive tackles, and wide receivers. That is it. Three positions have been selected so far.
Wow.
Well, I don't know. You think there's like a little bit of a reaction to how dominant defenses were through the first half of the season? Teams are trying to improve their offenses more than their defense. Some of the Niners are in a different spot. Their needs are clearly more on the defensive side of the ball overall. But I wonder if there's some sort of just league-wide look at, all right, how do we kind of rebalance things in regards to how good defenses perform?
Yeah, I mean, with the Niners this year especially, I think you have to protect your quarterbacks, and I think that's what a lot of the teams now are not just protecting them with the offensive linemen. They're getting them star receivers, tight ends. Like they're giving them weapons with the young quarterbacks. And I think the Niners, they obviously have their quarterback of the future. He's going to get paid. Nobody knows the amount of money just yet, and he already has the weapons too. So I think the way the draft is falling, it almost bodes perfectly so far through 12 picks for the Niners, which I don't think the fans were feeling that coming into today, at least. With all the rumors and all the noise around Ayuk and Debo and, you know, going to be Byron Murphy off the board. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes here to the Raiders. But I think right now the Niners are set up pretty well at pick 31.
And the Raiders selection is being announced right now by Roger Goodell. And they go with Georgia tight end Brock Bowers.
We're partying in Vegas.
Brock, I mean, that's a hell of a pick
that's
at 13.
Awesome. That is what the Denver Broncos should have done. And now while Bo Nix flounders out there and mile high, Brock Bowers might catch
he'll be terrorizing
15 touchdowns
in the division.
This year for
in
the Raiders.
In the division.
Man.
Yeah. Napa Zone. Shout out to a NorCal kid, Brock Bowers.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where was Michael Mayer taken? He's essentially obsolete at this
point,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, they already had a young, quote-unquote, tight end stud, and they went with another one.
This is kind of a situation for the Raiders where it's not a gigantic positional need, but it's by far the best player available at
for
this stage.
He can also play in the slot, too, so I wouldn't be surprised if we do see him utilized more like Travis Kelce with Mayer on the inline tight end. So
yeah, he could also play a two tight end set. That's true. I mean
that's a hell
I just
of
think
a
it's
pick.
Interesting.
It's
and, if you get a young, and if you have Rattler in the second or third round, you have a young quarterback, if he plays this year with two tight ends that can be not just blockers, but also you know, the quarterback's best friend. We got two of them now, and Bowers is head and shoulders, probably already a top 10 tight end in the entire league.
Yeah, probably.
Like, he's that good.
13 picks in, and we now have a fourth position drafted, all offense, but now add a tight end to the group of quarterbacks, wide receivers, and offensive tackles. And according to Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, the Saints at number 14 are listening to trade offers, gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
Trade offers. Call up the Saints if you want to move up to number 14 overall. I'm not sure that this is a move for the 49ers to make at this stage, but the Saints listening to trade offers reportedly here at number 14.
I will say this. I would be very thankful the Raiders did take Brock Bowers because our good old friend in L.A., Sean McVay, I'm sure was making a call if the Saints were on the board because you put Bowers in that offense with Kupp and Nacua, I don't care who the Niners draft, you ain't stopping them. They're going to score 30 on you every single game.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see a move with the Niners here. I guess it would be involving Ayuk or Debo. I mean, I guess you could pair him with Olave, but that offense has performed pretty poorly considering the quote-unquote names they have on that side of the ball. So, I mean, look, I think any team at this point, with the way that the draft has played out, it might have been a little chalky, but it's kind of been, I don't know, just, you know, one-sided at this point. I do wonder how many teams are just kind of trying to move back or move around just for the sake of clarity. Like, by the time they get their pick back, there might have been a little more balance in regards to which side of the football is being taken.
Yeah, I think a team like the Niners, you know, speaking of moving back, like, the consensus has kind of been you're going to stay at 31 unless you're trading one of your star receivers, but there's a real conversation to be had of the smartest thing could be trading back at 31.
And I know they've done that time and time again.
We don't want to hear it for the sake of the show. After Niner fans want to see their team pick in the first round for the first time since 2021, but there's a real possibility come night's end, Niners don't pick at all.
Well, and this is a draft where obviously first round picks are incredibly valuable, but you can get some awesome players round two and three. And if you could use your 31st overall pick to add in an extra second round pick, because what the Niners have done, and we talked about it in the first segment, you move back a couple of spots, you gain an extra pick, you use that extra pick to help you move back into a later round. So you could turn 31 into an early second round pick, and then use the extra pick you get for moving back, pair that with one other mid round pick, and move into maybe the middle of the second round. And instead of picking 31 and late second, you could pick early second, mid second, and late second, really, if you do play it that way.
I mean, I think also too, Mark, it's, if we are to take John Lynch's word for what it is, I mean, me and Sterling were talking about this before the show, if there are really only 22 first round grades on your board, then 31 is a second-round pick anyway, so you might as well try and move back, create some more capital.
Falls. Someone could fall.
That's true, and in all likelihood, someone will fall, but to fall 9 spots out of what you believe are first-round grades, I think, is a little much. So, I mean, there also might be someone there they really like. I just wonder at that point, with not a, you know, top-tier stud-like talent, in which there generally is, do you decide to draft for need? Do you take the best player available? And I'm with Sterling. I think it might just be intelligent to move out and create more chances and more throws at the dartboard.
Yeah. Well, you also get a chance to not just fill one position. You can get a tackle, you can get a guard, you can get a receiver, you can find that cornerback that you want to play outside or inside next to Lenore and Mooney Ward. But do you think the fifth-year option matters? It feels like every time they're going to extend one of these guys when the contract's up.
That's a good point.
The fifth-year option is like, well, that's a reliable piece to fall back on, Ayuk being one of them right now. They have no problem, according to Mike Florio, playing him on the fifth-year option. Now, will Ayuk do that? We will see.
Maybe the Niners don't have an issue with it, but Ayuk does.
But I do think it does give them some flexibility, where
they have the leverage, the Niners do, over Ayuk.
Right, but even picking at 31, like, you do give yourself the extra year to make a choice on a player. Like, Javon Kinlaw didn't get his option picked up, but McGlinchey did. Bosa obviously was going to. Ayuk did as well. I do think that, while, yes, we can advocate all night for trading back, how it makes so much sense when it comes to, you already have 10 picks, go get 12, make the top three premium ones. There also is part of that conversation of, if you like the guy at 31, take him, and it gives you now 4-5 years now to decide his future.
I mean, I also think, too, it's, you know, if to me, the pick obviously depends on the player, but it has to be somebody, in my opinion, that can help you now. I mean, I think everything the Niners are going to be doing, including extending Brandon Ayuk at some point this summer, is geared towards winning now, because you don't have much of a window with Brock Purdy's contract. And that's what they're trying to maximize, or what I believe they should maximize. So whether it's the 31st pick, whether they trade down, whether they even trade up a little bit, that player to me has to be someone that can impact the game in his first season. Because as great as their draft picks have been, I would say before 2020, you look at the last 2 years, and Purdy's the only guy that's popped, which wasn't even intentional. The only other starter they have from their last two draft classes is Jake Moody. So, I mean, I understand they haven't had a first or second round pick or as many, but that has to be a player, in my opinion. Maybe that doesn't come in and start, but at least as a rotational person that can provide some sort of immediate impact.
Well, it's been everything that every move that they've made over the last couple of years now has been geared towards, like, all in. It's been that kind of move. Like, Christian McCaffrey at the deadline, you get Chase Young, and Chase Young, okay, didn't really work out great. He was good in the Super Bowl, but leading up to that, not the best.
One game wonder.
Yeah, one game wonder for Chase Young, and it wasn't quite enough. The Niners are at a point, and we talked about this a little bit earlier. The pressure is still incredibly high on them to win a Super Bowl. Maybe they have the most pressure on them out of any team in the league to get it done. Like, they have been knocking, 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 and they haven't been able to get it done, which is why I'm in agreement with you guys about not trading Brandon Ayuk. And to your point, Evan, if you do make a pick 31st overall, or if you trade up or you trade down, you have to guarantee yourself that you're going to get someone that is going to impact you and help you win now. Because you can try to, you know, dance the tightrope and toe the line a little bit.
Which they like to do.
They very much like to do that. I'm like, don't pick a running back in the third round, Kyle, okay? Like, you need someone that you feel like can help you this season.
Or a tight end that doesn't play last year.
Don't trade up to draft a kicker. Like, you need someone that's going to help you right now. And there's been too many picks in past years where it's like, okay, this could turn into somebody, but we need help right now.
Sterling, do you think that means that the pick right now is something that you want to see a draft for need or just best player available?
So it obviously depends on the board. Byron Murphy's still there. I don't think he'll be there at 31, but guys like Johnny Newton, who is probably the number two defensive tackle in the entire draft class. While there is value, Michael Hall is there in the second, third round, other players.
What if a tackle falls?
Like T'Vondre Sweat, who has character problems, but is an excellent player from Texas, will be on the board at 31, even in second, third rounds. I think if you're going to draft at 31, it does not just have to be need, but you have to pair that with, is this player worth potential? Like, take Johnny Newton, for example. Is he going to replace Devon Hargrave in 3 or 4 seasons? I think he could. They're very similar in how they play. But I also think you have to understand with this team, it's not just about getting needs. Like, you can go get a right tackle. You can go get a left tackle. You can go find someone to replace Trent Williams in 2 or 3 years. That was a lot of the conversation at 31 before tonight occurred of like, you got to get a tackle in 2 years. Talese Fuaga goes to the Saints just now. Now the tackle class gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. I do think the Niners at this point, I don't think it's about need because they have to get a receiver number 3. They have to get a cornerback. They have to get a tackle. You got pick 31. Then you go 63, 94, 124. A lot of talk of them trading up from 124 and pairing 63 with that. So I don't think there is this like desperation to go for need. I do think the Niners, if they fall in love with a player, no matter what position they are, cornerback, it can be a tight end for all I know. I hope it's not. But if it is, if they love him at 31, they're going to take him no matter what.
But in a way, I feel like I'm leaning more towards a defensive back because it's someone that could start in the nickel. But then also potentially replace Lenore or Ward, who are in contract years. Like, if you're taking a tackle, I'm not sure there's going to be one good enough there that would even be able to challenge McKivitz,
which is
on the right side.
Exactly.
So if you are taking someone that 2 years down the line could replace Trent Williams, I don't know if that's good enough for me. I understand there's injuries and things are going to happen. Guys are going to have to step up. But to me, taking a player that is going to be a depth piece, I mean, that's a reflection of how good your roster is, but to me, with where the Niners are at and what their sights are set on, I personally wouldn't like to see them go down that avenue.
Yeah. Pick number 14 is in, as you mentioned, Sterling. Talese Fuaga, tackle, offensive tackle from Oregon State, is the pick to New Orleans. So we're 14 picks in.
Let's go, Beavs.
All 14 have been offensive players. That is doubling the record, by the way. The most picks, the most offensive players to open a draft, to begin a draft, was 7 in 2021. We now have 14 consecutive offensive players picked to begin this draft. I know you ask a lot of Niner fans, and I would probably agree. I don't know how you guys feel. What's the team's biggest need, the biggest hole? You'd probably say right tackle or interior of the offensive
right
line.
Right guard, probably.
Yeah,
the next one.
Something along those lines. I get the sense, though, and part of it is all these tackles going off the board and zero defenders going off the board nearly halfway through round one. I don't think the Niners are taking an offensive line in the first round. I think they're going to pick a defensive back, most likely, if they do end up picking at 31.
Might take a D lineman.
I mocked, and for what it's worth, Johnny Newton.
Who'd you mock?
Johnny Newton.
No.
You mocked all of us.
Jerzon Newton.
You mocked
from
Mel
Illinois.
Kiper. No.
I actually can mock Colin Cowherd for calling Talese Fuaga. Talese Fuaga this morning
Uaga.
On FS1. But
Uaga.
Yes. But see, the Niner fans are going to sit there and say, the last two Super Bowls, what cost you? Chris Jones against Mike Person and Chris Jones against Spencer Burford.
I'm with you. I don't know if they feel that way.
We might sit here and say, well, Colton McKivitz.
Get the ball out quicker.
Like, if he had more time, he could.
Yeah, I know.
But I do think that whether the Niners like it and agree with it, and they don't give a you-know-what about what the fans want to a certain degree,
of course
right?
not.
But if Graham Barton is there, if Troy Fatano is there from Washington.
If Troy Fatano is there, you have to take him.
I think he's more of a tackle than a guard, but if there are what is considered a consensus number one interior offensive lineman that can say, hey, John Feliciano, become my backup center and guard again.
I'm scared of Seattle at pick 16 taking...
Graham Barton will probably be a good spot for him.
I was also thinking Fatanu. Right, went to Washington, keep him in Seattle.
I just think at 31, if it's not an offensive lineman and it isn't one of the elite, you know, number one, number two consensus top defensive players, like if they go Nate Wiggins from Clemson, who has medical concerns, had a leg injury last year at Clemson, but it's a massive risk. If he's there at 31, the potential is Darius Slay. Those are the comps next to him. The other potential is he's hurt and never plays.
Yeah.
Like, if that happens, Niners fans are going to say, we have Lenore. We have Mooney Ward, albeit on one-year contract still, but they're going to say, how was that a need? Fans always look to needs. The team itself looks for talent above the need of like, we can get Johnny Newton. We can get a Nate Wiggins. I do think, though, at this point when you've lost two Super Bowls, it's not just the team feeling desperate. It's now the fan base of like, how many times do we have to watch the same thing happen over and over and over again? And if you don't get a right guard last year, the first three rounds, no right tackles. And did McKivitz kill him this year? No, but right guard did. In the biggest game of the season. If you neglect the same positions over and over again, and it's already come back to bite you twice, the fan base will start to say, okay, like, enough's enough, Kyle. Enough's enough, John. If I know we have to get a right guard, but you don't, I mean, something's got to change.
Yeah, and it could be just a position correction, considering they didn't take an offensive lineman in the draft at all last year. So, you know, and look, I mean, rookies are ideally impactful. I mean, Rashee Rice on line one, but I don't think that there is someone that's coming in and immediately just changing the trajectory of that offensive line, for example. At least it's someone that's still left, that's going to be left at 31. So I'm kind of with Grandy. Like, I do think that defense is where they're looking right now, just based on what the board is leaving you available with, because I think there's more impact players left on that side of the ball. And I think there's guys right now, even if it's a defensive lineman, the Niners are not afraid to stack guys and rotate them. And maybe, I mean, Drake Jackson isn't someone that is going to pan out. You know, Leonard Floyd is 31 years old. Maybe he's down a couple of games this year. I don't think they can ever have too much depth on the D line, but I would personally right now lean towards a defensive back if you had to ask me which position I would want them to identify at 31.
Yeah, I think so as well. And the other thing is, I mean, think back to how we felt about the offensive line a year ago. I think we were all having the same conversations. We didn't feel great about Colton McKivitz as the team starting right tackle, and we were unsure about the interior of the offensive line, maybe aside from Aaron Banks on the left side. You were a little concerned by everybody else. Guess what they did in the draft last year? They didn't take a single offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to take an offensive lineman this year. They're probably going to take multiple offensive linemen in the draft this year.
Yeah, that was a year after they had four quarterbacks hurt.
But they clearly felt decent enough about their offensive line last year to not draft any young offensive linemen last year. They have the same starting five returning.
Exact same. Yeah.
And now you have to think, you know, Trent Williams is a year closer to retirement, and you got to find his replacement at left tackle. That's maybe enough to nudge them to draft the tackle. But you have the same starting five as last year, and last year they did not draft a single offensive lineman. I want them to pick an offensive tackle 31st overall. Whenever they pick with their first pick, draft a tackle. I just don't think the Niners view that as a position of need nearly as much as all the fans, including us, do.
Lot too.
Yeah, I don't think the Niners...
Yeah, by the way, the first defensive player off the board goes to the Colts, 15th overall. It is UCLA edge rusher Liatu Latu, the first defensive player off the board.
15.
Wow.
I mean, it is a reflection, I think, of just the top-tier defensive talent available as a whole. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, just kind of reading the first, 14 picks of this draft, it almost seems reactionary after Michael Penix Jr. That so far has kind of determined.
People kind of freaked out a little bit.
I think they did.
It freaked us out.
A couple people reached, which allowed a couple offensive players that were towards the top to fall. So maybe we see a little bit of a correction here as the first defensive guy comes off the board. And looking ahead, I mean, Seattle, maybe Jacksonville is someone you want to maybe take a look at if the Niners are trying to move up and grab someone. But, I mean, it's been an interesting draft so far. And it was funny how we were talking about the chalk at the top and then everything just went completely scattered.
I mean, you still got some crazy defensive players that are available.
Byron Sterling. Murphy's still there. The Rams need a defensive player. Donald is not on the team anymore because he retired.
No cornerbacks through 15 picks.
Nope.
Quarterback one is still on the board. Whoever you have ranked quarterback one, he's up there.
So it's Quinyon Mitchell, Tyrion Arnold, Nate Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry. First off, what a great first name, Kool-Aid. Obviously not his real first name, but great nickname. I think not Seattle, who's next on the board, but Jacksonville, a team like the Bengals who are trying to trade to Higgins, and even teams like Pittsburgh. Like, we're kind of in a sweet spot, like, of like the last remaining teams of Ayuk potentially being traded.
Yep.
Where I think as soon as Pittsburgh's off the board, all Niner fans can say Ayuk's a Niner next year. And like, I can already say that, but I do think that's kind of the final straw of like, once Pittsburgh's off the board at 20, we're good.
Of the rumors, all three of us are in lockstep that we don't believe that Ayuk is getting traded and did not buy what went down for the last 2 weeks. But if there was a team that would make the most sense, you think it is Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh and Jacksonville are kind of the two. Like, you're not trading Ayuk to Green Bay. Dallas has CeeDee Lamb. They want to extend him. Philadelphia just paid A.J. Brown. They're already paying Devontae Smith. Minnesota's going to pay Jefferson. Miami already has Hill and Waddle. They're probably going to want to replace Christian Wilkins.
If you're going to trade him to the other conference.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah. And in Pittsburgh, who I think even today we had reporters on saying, you know, they're in lockstep or they're having conversations and negotiations on and off. Jacksonville was long rumored. I think it was Mia O'Brien out there in Florida made a comment of 17 and Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk. Now, we have no idea if those offers are true, but I do think that Jacksonville and Pittsburgh make a lot of sense. They both those teams need receivers. Pittsburgh traded Deontay Johnson to Carolina this offseason. The Jacksonville Jaguars lost Calvin Ridley, and they signed Gabe Davis, and even Gabe Davis is super inconsistent. So in the next five or so picks, you can officially, in my opinion, write Ayuk off of being traded.
All right, but hold your breath until then.
You never know.
Right now, the Seattle Seahawks are on the clock at 16th overall. When we come back, we will tell you what that pick is, assuming that we do have it by then. I would imagine we do. It's draft night here on 95.7 The Game. Mark, Randy, Evan Gidding, Sterling Bennett with you. Shane, I see you on hold. We're coming to you on the other side. Are you worried about Ayuk's future? Give us a call, 888-957-957. More NFL draft coverage here on 95.7 The Game coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.